Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hunter's Moon, Ghost. It's going to be on the new soundtrack for Halloween Kills and the new album when that shows up from Ghost. Now, Tobias Forge is going to go out and tour. Those guys, Ghost, of course, with Volbeat, have a brand new record as well. They're going to be here in February. Tickets are on sale right now, but it's going to go a lot faster than you think between now and February. The show is more than halfway sold out. Ghost and Volbeat will be a magnificent tour, dude. That's two of my favorite bands to come along in a decade, and they're finally going to go out and tour together. And that's what some of those bands, like, sometimes you don't want to see a band that's like the other. You don't want to see a Metallica with a Volbeat opening because it's just too much of the same. So the idea of an ultra-theatrical metal band like Ghost producing this great show and a more stripped-down rock band like Volbeat, dude, that's the perfect night, man. That gets you everything.
And a great marriage of a new song and a great like, that's so good.
They finally get it right. The guy, because... You just think half the time these soundtracks are terrible. Marrying Ghost to the Halloween song
to Michael Myers is so good.
It's so obvious. It pisses you off that somebody didn't do it earlier, you know?
Formed in Sweden in 2006, they are a Grammy Award-winning band who have amassed a huge following worldwide for their amazing live performances. The band is Ghost. They've just released a new single that will be featured on the Halloween Kills soundtrack, titled Hunter's Moon. And on February 23rd, you can see them along with Volbeat at Cable Dome Arena. Please welcome Ghost mastermind and friend of the show, Tobias Forge.
Tobias, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm blushing here.
Dude, what a great
song. I'm good,
John.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I got your text Sunday, and I started really digging into the song at home. And it's Sunday morning. I got a big cup of coffee, and I'm just blaring Hunter's Moon. And it's just what a great song and perfect for the movie.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
thank you very much.
Well, and you've been a horror fan, and the genre has always been appealing to you, and you know, you're a fan of the theatrics and the emotion of it all. So when they came to you and they started asking you, I mean, it's John Carpenter's creation. That had to be another high point in your life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it came about sort of pretty much in conversation. So it was never like an audience of you know, the red phone is blinking.
And right.
Carpenter on the phone for you. It was, it sort of ended up in my lap more casually over dinner with a friend of mine who works within, the company that makes, the current franchise of Halloween. You know, just asking me if I were interested in making film music. In the first place, like film music at all. And I said, yeah, absolutely. But I, you know, obviously there's a big, big, big difference having a song from your current repertoire jamming into a film and sort of scoring a film. That's like two completely different things.
Sure.
But he said, well, you know, let's just talk about it in the future and see if there's anything, you know, if you want to write a song or something, you know, it could be anything. I mean, it could be like a, maybe a Man Behind the Mask, you know, Ghost, but their own song. And I was like, as a matter of fact, I do have a track and it's called Hunter's Moon. And that could fit in very well into Halloween. Thing is, at the time, actually just had a title. I had a title written down since some time back. And
isn't that the way?
Which was just like on my to work off of list. As with many, many other things. It just had the words Hunter's Moon, and which just sounded cool. But in the back of my head as we were talking, it sort of dawned on me, like, wait a minute, wasn't Hunter's Moon? That was probably in October. Yeah, that could be sold as like a Halloween thing. And yeah, so once the dinner was done and we'd sort of come to an agreement, you know, it was just like the small little detail of writing the song. But it came to me pretty quickly in terms of like the basic gist of what was going to be the song, which, you know, it helps out when you know what it's going to turn into.
Sure.
When you know which format, which context. For me, at least, writing a song is so much easier if I know that. It's more hard to start with like a blank canvas than just like, oh, I'm going to tell how it is. But that's just like...
Well, listen, I think
you... Put you into a hard spot.
Yeah, I think you've really... most guys can't do this. Most bands can't. It's either going to be a song that is so indicative of the movie, it's not going to be able to work out on an album, and this absolutely crosses all those levels where you go, man, if you've never seen the movie, this is a great song. It'll be great at radio. It'll be great to perform live. I can't wait. That's what I was telling you. I can't wait to hear it at full volume. You know, that and not to nerd out too deeply, but that breakdown at about 1:30 in, and it goes through that change up that into those big Queen style vocals. I was like, oh, God damn, am I loving it. I mean, like, my nipples are hard. I'm running around the living room, you know, just hitting it over and over and over again, listening to that part going, this is fantastic.
I'm glad you like it.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. It's one of those things. I mean, you're one of those musicians that really does understand to say yes. I mean, there's a guy named Jerry Weintraub, an American film producer, who used to do, and he was an agent and a talent manager. And he used to put together these things just like you did, where the guy mentioned something, goes, oh, I've got something for that. Don't you worry. I'll absolutely get you Frank Sinatra to tour for an entire year. And then he'd have to go to Frank and figure out how to make it happen. And he'd lie to Frank and go, Frank, this guy's promised you an entire year's worth of touring if you just come along with it. I've already got the money. And he would just say yes and then figure out how to do it after he'd already made the agreement.
Yeah, you have to fake it till you make it, basically.
Yeah, well, and you
do it with some sort of, you know, you have to have some sort of balance someplace, you know. But I think in this case, I relied on the fact that, as I just said, like, as soon as I know a context, it's so much easier to come up with. I mean, if you were a comedian and someone says, like, say something funny, it's so much harder.
Right.
But if it's within a con, say something funny about football. You know, it makes so much more sense.
Well, and just that we were discussing earlier how the evolution of Ghost, it was such a terrifying thing to the point where you needed a chorus when you were in Nashville doing an album. You needed a choir to come in, and you couldn't find anybody to do it because nobody would let kids come in because they saw the imagery. Or the fact you wanted to press an album and you couldn't find a U.S. company to press the vinyl and to put the album out originally, just because it freaked them out to see the cover, to freak them out to see the imagery that you were including in the early days of Ghost?
Strangely enough, that was something that happened during a brief period of time. It sort of coincided, you know, the Nashville incidences and the printing thing, and then how... I don't know if you remember this, if you heard about the burger joint in Chicago, was it? And so there were a few things that happened simultaneously that was sort of borderlining into this sort of satanic panic, outrage of the band's existence. And then that sort of farted out, which is kind of strange because we haven't necessarily gone smaller since then.
No.
But I think at that point, it was just like a few things that just, especially with the praying, we had some, what some people, if you're Puritan, might deem as obscene artwork just because it had a picture of a vagina.
Just crazy.
And the record sleeve. And yeah. Apparently that's the worst thing.
The one thing that gets us up in the morning.
World.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that we all think about every day, all day, and that's the worst thing you've ever given us. It's crazy, but that's America, and I love it. Let me tell you something. When we were kids, if you went to a Motley Crue show, like Shot at the Devil era, or Maiden, there'd be these Christians outside, and they'd hand you these little pamphlets that looked like you wanted them, like, you ready for a good time? And you'd open it up and be like, because you're going to hell. And that's how you knew... You were getting a great show that night. If Ozzy came to town and they were outside, this was going to be the best night ever.
That's pretty much it. And I think that that is one of the reasons. I mean, obviously now with the sort of new winds of I don't know if to call it religiosity, but you know, the sort of the waves that are pumping now with puritanical sort of vibes. You never know if things have changed. I mean, we haven't been on an American tour for, since almost 2 years. So it's, things might change, especially when you hit certain markets. But I think that back in the day, back in the sort of the heyday of Pierre Marcy, I think that the lesson learned in their camp was that we can't do this, because every time you put a sticker, we could put a sticker on, but if you do the picket fence and you do like a TV rallying against these artists, the only fucking thing that happens is that they sell out the show and they sell a million records. And so they sort of stopped doing that, I think, to a degree.
Of course.
We actually had one more instance of that that sort of pops in my head right now. We were playing down in, I feel stupid for not remember if this was Lubbock or it was someplace right in the middle of Texas somewhere, West Texas, Lubbock or something like that. And we were playing a venue and apparently there was some pastor
Larry Long. That's right. Didn't they come out and they were praying about your impending performance?
Yeah. Yes. I think I don't remember. I mean, if you name drop like that, I don't remember.
Yeah. Pastor is Midland. Pastor Midland, Texas.
Midland, Texas. First of all, the venue was at the university grounds, so they couldn't get in. So they had to stand like miles away from the venue with their picket fence and all that picketing. And we actually, I think we did a jump in ticket sales drastically after his, because that's generally like, it's a little bit of a, sideways sort of market. But the show was great. The show was really good.
Well, listen.
The crowd there was great. So the only thing that we learned from that, the lesson we learned is that we need to get back there, because if
of course.
I don't know exactly how many people were there, but let's say 1,000 people or something like that were there. 1,000 people there like stuff like this. So
legendary.
Of course we have to come there and play for them.
Yes.
So we're going to come back.
This is anybody who's a Ghost fan and has seen Ghost and seen what you really did, what you put together, is there's such a great theater to it. Like it is, if you want to be outraged, be outraged. Be crazy outraged. Just tell your friends how terrible it is. But the fans that come in, they realize there's a wink and a nod and an entertainment value to it, and it's so good, and it's a complete show. And nobody walks out of a Ghost show thinking, I didn't get my money's worth. I mean, you've always reinvested in making it bigger and more entertaining, and you have brought, a show that these guys have really never seen. It's definitely got its roots in Alice, Cooper, and the theater of it all. But don't we love that? Don't we love horror movies like Halloween and Frankenstein? And it's so scary that there'd be somebody talks about Satan, the red devil with the hooves and the pointy head. It is the thing that makes rock and roll so much fun. And if you take it too seriously, like, then you've just lost your mind. Like, I mean, anybody who listens to this knows you're an incredibly creative, fantastically good storyteller, and you're bringing, you know, performance art to the world. And it's genuinely, it's probably the best thing to come down the pipe in that fashion in 10 years, or maybe 20.
Ah, Johnny. Well.
Well, I mean it. I mean, tell me, who would you say that is in the same realm? I look at the bands, and I love Rob Zombie. He is very good at what he does. This is far more complete in the story. And there's a great musical nerdery to it all. T, who works with me, follows the story about Papa Emeritus all the way through. And I love that, because that's the stuff I miss about the early days of rock and roll, when you could really follow the story. That's what I think makes the super fan of bands like Ghost.
I guess so, yeah. In many ways, a lot of the things that I do is in obviously intuitive and things that I like to see myself, but in so many ways, it's an homage to all the things that I grew up with. And
sure.
Even maybe not, face value, people might not sort of think about it, but also the way that we try to communicate is more in line with how you and I, our contacts with how news was coming out back then, where it wasn't online, it wasn't continuous, it wasn't endless, it wasn't all excessive, you didn't have all access to sort of the source. Some shape or form sort of shaped into something newsworthy. You read it in a magazine.
Right.
It was like a daily paper was one thing, but if you read it in a music magazine, it was usually sort of tilted, funny, or extravagant, or excessive in some way or form. And that sort of bloated the whole thing into out of proportion. A lot of it was kind of untrue or exaggerated in some way. But that also left a lot to your imagination,
yes,
which I really dug.
Love. I loved it.
I can, of course, like things nowadays as well. And sometimes for its purest form, just because I like, a song. And that at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, if you like someone's song.
Always.
I like the fact that we are trying to do things different.
Oh, it's all added value. It's never overshadowed the music. You can't listen to a Ghost record, and I know we got to cut it. We got to let you go to do more interviews. But listen, that's the best part of it all. Anybody who's a Ghost fan, you listen to the musicality of the entire band, of what you've created, and the image in no way can overpower that, because you created a base for it. That's what makes it so appealing when you go see these shows. When you get here with Volbeat, another great band that is great live, and they're just monsters, and you guys are separate enough that's a complete good time that night. You literally ran the gamut of all the things I love about rock and roll on a night like that.
Yes, I'm really happy about that. The billing, that's really cool.
Well,
I'm really happy about that.
Listen, Tobias, I'll run on and on and on all day. There's a million things I want to talk to you about, and everything from Halloween to the tour, but I know this is a lot of press that you've got to get through today, but you're always welcome. I'll get together with you before you get to Kansas City, and let's talk some more about all things.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really looking forward to see you there. Not too long now.
Nope, just around the corner.
Great talking to you again, John.
You too, my friend. Take care.
It is a long way down. Can you hear the thunder? I can hear the thunder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.